And so we've dedicated this time to praise and thank our God for what he has done through the various ministries throughout this past year. I want to read something to you from Psalm 66, a number of verses. Shout joyfully with praises to God, all the earth. Sing about the glory of his name. Tell the world how glorious he is. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. Your enemies cringe before your mighty power. Everything on earth will worship you. They will sing your praises, shouting your name in glorious songs. Come and see what our God has done, what awesome miracles he performs for people. In part, that's what we want to do this morning. Come and see, come and hear. Come and hear the hearts and the testimonies of people who are involved in different ministry areas and hear what God has done. See the changed lives. See the hope. He has made a dry path through the Red Sea, and his people went across on foot. Then we rejoiced in him. For by his great power, he rules forever. He watches every moment of the nations. Let no rebel rise in defiance. Let the whole world bless our God and loudly sing his praises. Our lives are in his hands, and he keeps our feet from stumbling. And then in verse 16, come and listen, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what he did for me. And so in part, in big part, that's what we're doing this morning. And then in Mark chapter 5, I love this account where Jesus healed a man who was riddled with the demonic. His life was all but over, even at a young age. And Jesus came and spoke, and he was freed. He was set free. He had his life given back to him. And then Jesus and his disciples are going to get back in the boat and go across the lake again. And as Jesus was doing so, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Wouldn't you? This new friend, this new Savior. But Jesus said, no. Go home to your family and tell them everything the Lord has done for you and how merciful he has been. That's the desire of Jesus. When he connects with our lives and our lives are touched and changed, we need to tell others. We need to let others know. And primarily as believers, as members and part of River Valley Community Church, this is your spiritual family. You get to tell what God has done in your life through the ministries in this church over this last year. And so through all of these things this morning, we give praise and adoration and thanksgiving and glory with joy and enthusiasm to the God who's working among us, changing us from glory to glory to glory. So it's with wide open ears and wide open hearts that we will hear and listen and join in and praise God together for his goodness among us. Let me pray with you, and then we'll begin this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you are so divine, so otherworldly, that yet you became one of us. And you've touched our lives in so many marvelous, marvelous ways. And so as we go through this morning, Father in heaven, creator of all, the one who sent the Savior for our souls to give us life and purpose, first and foremost and all the way through, we lift up these testimonies as praise and adoration and thanksgiving to you. And may we all be inspired. May we be encouraged. May we be changed. May we be blessed. And may we spread the news of what you've done in our lives as individuals and the lives of people in this church body, wherever we go, Jesus. Be in the sharing, be in our worship, we pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to call on Pastor Randy. He's going to introduce something pretty wild and exciting. We wanted the kids to be in for the first couple.
Last January, God began to reveal to me a ministry that he wanted River Valley Community to launch. And that was a ministry to boys. And so we began to plan and think through, pray through what that ministry would look like, because we recognize in this area, in particular at Elm Street School, which is just kitty corner to us, has a number of boys and girls, but a number of boys in particular that are growing up without a good male role model in their lives. And as I talked to the principal, I could see light bulbs go on into his eyes, into his mind, of just, I could see him going through a list of the boys that attend that school that could use godly men to come alongside of them. And so this September, we launched that ministry at Elm Street School, using their gym particularly most nights. At this point, we have pretty consistent 18 boys. I think we have about 20 or 21 on the registry. Some of those boys are Valley Night Leader boys, and that's awesome. And those boys are helping us shape ministry, whether they know it or not. Right, Emerson, a.k.a. Gideon. And we have some Elm Street school boys that come that we've recognized very early, these are the boys that really need men in their lives. We have faced challenges. We have faced blessings. We have almost got all the boys to stand in the row shoulder to shoulder. We're not there yet. As soon as we get 17 of them in a row, one darts off and goes somewhere else, and we start all over again. That's Valley Nights. And some nights it feels a little chaotic, but in the whole process, the Holy Spirit is there and is using these godly men to speak into these boys, typically one at a time or two at a time, and speaking into them. So I want the men to come up here that are part of it. I've already been demoted. But what I've asked these guys to do is simply give a sense or two or a thought or two or a very quick story of what Valley Night means to them. And then when they're done, Josh, we're going to shoot that video and give you a little bit of the shenanigans that happen at Valley Nights. I mean, it's a very, very short one, but you'll get maybe a little bit of a clip. So guys, what does Valley Nights mean?
Well, I think for me, it's more than just me. When we go to Valley Nights, I try to spend time in prayer prior to going. And usually with Emerson and I, as we go, we realize it's not about us. It's about the other kids that we're going to minister to. And some nights are amazing, and we see some amazing fruit. And as a result, we're blessed as a result of that. But we pray for them. And as a result, then we get blessed through it.
Well, I've got two. When the challenge was laid out to us earlier this week, I had trouble deciding, so I'm going to tell them both. So that's one. Is the first one is what it was revealed to me what these boys really need when one of our younger guys was having a particularly rough evening, not listening, getting into trouble. And so him and I went and stood on the side, and we were watching the gameplay, and he just comes up to me and he just does this, and he starts leaning harder and harder and harder, and he just needed somebody to just hold his weight. 5 seconds, 10 seconds, 20 seconds, it calmed him right down. And I just sat there and I just felt that love just transfer through. There was no hugging. It was just keeping that boy propped up for that night. He was having a rough night. It was an amazing feeling for him, and he instantly turned around and had a great night. But on a personal level, what it's done for me, this was probably the moment I felt Christ's love the most just for me this past year. We were having another rough night right after Halloween. And one of the boys came out of the bathroom and told me that one of the boys made a big mess. Okay, I go, and I got four boys, so I kind of know what little boys do in the bathroom, make a mess. We'll go clean it up. And I walk in there, and it's a really big mess, and an obvious, deliberate mess. So I get mad, and I go out there, and Derek was so kind, he made sure I put on gloves to clean it up. Didn't offer to help, but made sure I got gloves and the right materials to clean this up. So I get the gloves on, and I'm going in there, and I'm mopping this all up, and I'm getting mad. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to line all these boys up, and I'm going to teach them about respect. And I just felt that blood starting to boil. And then in the back of my mind, I just hear this little voice. You said you'd do anything. Well, no, God, not this. This is not anything. This is not what I'm meant to do. And then there it was again. And I'm getting mad. I'm having this little conversation with God. And I said, no. This isn't what I'm supposed to be doing. He's like, you said you'd do anything. This is exactly where you need to be. And then just this wave of peace came over me, this joy and this jubilation that I was there mopping up a little boy's mess, and I felt nothing but love for him. We didn't even know which one it was. But it was that moment for me that God just said, this is it. This is what I need from you right now.
I was not in a great place when Pastor Randy came and said, hey, would you like to help out? And I remember going to the first meeting, and we were meeting in the other room over there, and I felt like, how on earth, and I shared this with all of them at the same time, I said, how on earth is God going to use me when I feel like I'm completely useless? And every single one of these guys, including Pastor Randy, said, you're exactly where you need to be. And that was incredibly powerful, because I knew I have a chance, an opportunity to make an impact on these kids' lives. And one of the things that sticks out is when Tyrell was talking about, he's just having a conversation with Theo, his son, and Theo was talking to his dad about stuff, and Tyrell said, hey, you realize that you're here for these other boys, not for you. And that was powerful for me, too, and I had to portray that to my son and tell Danilo, you're a shining light. You're an example for these other kids who don't have dads, who don't have meals to go home to all the time, and who might not have the greatest positive influences in their lives. You're a little shining light in their life. And so that, for me, was a pretty impactful moment when we all get to share some frustrations, but I'll tell you, there's more blessings than there are frustrations.
I suppose with me, it's perseverance. It's one of our codes from where we started. It was an animal act. It truly was. But where we are now, the brotherhood we've all built, like, it's an amazing adventure.
Yeah, I think it's been a neat adventure for the kids, and as you can see, for us leaders as well. We've just been able to bond and grow and just have a lot of fun with the kids and just kind of be adventurous and wild and crazy ourselves too, along with the kids, and just been a fun place to for them just to be boys, and for it's, and the same for us too. So it's been a lot of fun.
One of the side benefits that I would say about this ministry that, you know, I should have recognized from the beginning is this is a brotherhood. Whenever we meet, these guys, we lift each other up. Doesn't matter where we've come from. When we meet in the edge and we talk about, oh my goodness, what are we going to do with the kid who literally pees all over the bathrooms, to how do we develop spiritually into these boys. And this is a brotherhood that I'm proud to say I'm a part of these guys. And each one of their own right is an awesome leader. And it's just exciting to see how God is using them to impact boys for ministry. The other thing is, once we got started, it became apparent to the Medicine Hat Police Department that we were doing this. And so they met with their superiors, whatever that means. They had some kind of a meeting. And they agreed from the top brass of the Medicine Hat Police Department that they want to partner with Valley Knights to be a part of raising boys of valor. And so we have about 6 officers that rotate through. And some nights they come as 2, some nights they come as 1, some nights they're all busy and they're not there, but they do their best to come, some in uniform, some not. And we're going to show a bit of a clip here in a minute that you'll see the inspector having a riot when we went over to the police department to have Nerf wars in their gym. And you'll get a bit of a glimpse of that. The other quick thing, and sorry, I want to be quick with this. We've developed a sponsor sheet. It's over in the guest services. And what we want to do is to sponsor each one of these boys 2 ways. Number one, if you're interested in sponsoring one of these boys, is to give us $25 that we can buy these boys a Valley Knights shirt to recognize who they are. When we take them places, we need to know who they are, because they're boys and they wander. And when we have them all in the same shirts, it's a little bit easier to understand who's who and who needs to be belonging with us, so we can keep track of them better. The other one is to form them into a brotherhood as well. So when they stand shoulder to shoulder as boys, they know they have a brother on either side of them that is with them. So to sponsor us for $25 would buy 1 t-shirt for each boy. But then if you buy that shirt, we're asking that you would commit to pray for that child. And be honest, some of these boys need prayer. well, they all need prayer, but there are some that are really facing challenges in their lives that we won't talk about. All right. Another ministry that we do here, Chris, you can come. Another ministry we do here on Sunday mornings is called Promised Land, and Promised Land simply is any child from newborn right through to grade six. And that's going to take place after Chris is done. He's going to talk a little bit about Promised Land, and you're going to dismiss the kids right away. So, Chris, come and share a little bit about Promised Land. And, you know, Chris, if there's a thought that pops into your mind about from a parent side and then from a leader side, it's...
You know, Larry did say, he's like, and I hope you're going to share something. And I forgot that Randy did ask me last Sunday. It was a husband moment. That's a joke. But I can share. I have no problem sharing. I'm a little spontaneous. So kids, Promised Land. We're growing. I first attended Christ the King a while back, maybe 13 years ago, just to give you a little bit of a history. My wife and I were the youngest in the church congregation at that time, just so you know. The next people up were about 20 years above us. So when you look, kids, you can come up. I don't mind. You want to sit up here with me, with Pastor Randy? Come sit with Pastor Randy. Yep, don't have to leave. And not every kid is here this morning. There's some families that are missing, some kids that are missing. So from 13 years ago to, I don't know, we probably have, how many in the roster, Pastor Randy? We have 20 in Promised Land, 20 to 25. 50 and 60 kids is kind of what's there. So it's expanding. And it's nice to know that a congregation partners with a parent, as in you accept our children. They have a brotherhood and sisterhood too. I love it. I love the little children. Jesus loves the little children. And I love that our leaders love little children. And I love that our congregation is embracing them. Valley Nights, Promised Land, Junior Church. Honestly, Jesus said, let them come. And even when his disciples said, no, don't let the kids come. No, he's too busy. Or, no, we don't want to disturb them. Jesus is like, no, hold on here. Let them come. He picks them up. He holds them. He put them in his arms. He blessed them. He blessed them. So we bless you, little kids, children, mighty warriors, little Gideons.
Pastor Larry's already talked a little bit about divorce care and a vital ministry in our days. And so Hope, you want to come, and Hope's going to come. Hope leads divorce care, and she's going to share a few things about it to help you better understand this ministry.
Good morning. One thing, I like to start out with a story, but there is really no appropriate stories for this ministry. So I'm going to start out with the scripture. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Statistics tell us that 50% of first marriages, 63% of second marriages, and 75% of third marriages end in divorce. The breakdown of a marriage is one of the most painful things that you can go through. It's like ripping flesh apart. It's never a clean cut. It's heart-wrenching and very real. It shatters the heart and destroys the soul. You may ask, why is that? It's because God created marriage and has made two one. Divorce is a death of a marriage. The difference between death and divorce is death is final. We have a specific date to grieve from. Divorce is a living death. When is it final? In death, they didn't purposely leave you. In divorce, they did. Divorce care is a 13-week class. Some of the topics we cover are what's happening to me, the road to healing, financial help, why it hurts, why is divorce an emergency, grieving, anger, depression, loneliness, and what does the Bible say? New relationships, financial survival, forgiveness, reconciliation, moving on, and growing closer to God. I've personally experienced divorce, so I speak from experience. I can empathize and know where you are coming from. You may hear God hates divorce. So do I. It rips you and your family apart. God may hate divorce, but he sure loves the divorced people. He wants to walk with you and heal every part of your life. We are not defined by divorce. You are a person who is hurt by divorce. And in order to get through it and heal, we need to allow God to heal our heart and our soul. Walk through the process. Remember, it may take some time. They say 1 year for every 5 years. Be gentle on yourself. It took the Israelites 40 years to get to the promised land. People who have attended have found help in the information the videos provide and talking and sharing. I have personally seen people come in the classes with no hope to find hope in what God is doing in their lives. What can we do to help? We can know that they are hurting people. Don't pass judgment. Don't say, get over it, or forget your marriage ever happened. Remember, their marriage did happen, and they are working on getting over it. Instead, ask how they are doing, love on them, be gentle, and mostly pray for them. Oftentimes, people lose hope. Pray that they have God encounters and that God will meet every need. God is a God of hope, and he meets our need. I'm going to share, in closing, a story of hope. And it's my story of hope. When my ex-husband was not well and was going through treatment, my daughter went to spend time with him. I had wanted to send a card, but knew it may not be accepted by his wife if I sent it in the mail. I prepared the card and wrote the note and asked for forgiveness for my part in our marriage breakup. She took the card with her and gave it to her dad. He then, in turn, sent it back. However, it took her a few months before she gave it to me. When he returned it, he wrote, "I forgive you," but never said he was sorry for what he had done. But that didn't matter. That wasn't my purpose. However, when I got the card, I was so excited. I left her house, parked 2 blocks away, and opened it. I read that he forgave me. That's all that mattered. I was obedient, and God answered. I was so excited as I drove home. When I drove into my driveway, I was going to take the card in the house, and the Lord said, "No." I said, "Okay, should I throw it away?" And he said, "No." I said, "Okay," so I took it and put it in the glove compartment of the car. So for 2 weeks, I drove around with this card in my car. One day, I said, "Okay, Lord, what do you want me to do with the card? You said I couldn't put it in the garbage, and you don't want, and I don't want to drive around with it." He said, "I want you to rip it up in many pieces." I said, "Okay," and started to proceed. And I was sitting in front of my house at that time. Rip it up into very small pieces. When I was done, I asked, "Now what should I, now can I throw it away in the garbage?" He said, "No." I said, "Okay, so what do you want me to do with it?" He said, "See that pot?" I said, "Yes." He said, "I want you to put it in there." So I went to put it in there, and then he said, "I want you to get a lighter and do not take it in the house." I put the card in the pot and went in the house to get the lighter. I lit it and watched it burn. When it was all burnt up, he said, "I want you to mix it in the dirt." And then he said, "I'm going to turn your ashes into beauty." At this point, I was beside myself, knowing God had performed a miracle. How is he turning my ashes to beauty is up to him. I knew that once again he showed me his faithfulness to me. I share this story because it depicts my journey. The card represents the million pieces of my heart. God is turning the ashes of my life to beauty and to give all of you a hope that God loves you and is walking with you in your journey.
Thank you, Hope. There's a lot of things that I love about River Valley Community Church, and that's you. But one thing, you know, I've been here 5 years, and the one thing that I've learned very quickly is you are a body of believers that don't judge. People can come with whatever challenges they face in their life, they can come here and find help, support, and encouragement, prayer, etc. So thank you. And divorce care is one of those. So if you're here today and that's part of your journey, you won't find judgment here. You'll find love and acceptance. And the Lord will heal you. The next ministry that we want to talk about is our connection with Elm Street School. This is a connection that goes beyond my days here. As Christ the King, you established that in years past. And as we formed into River Valley Community Church, we are just blessed to continue with that. Christmas, Easter, we do hot meals. We take out these chairs. We line up rows of tables, and the whole school comes over, everybody. And we feed all those children in two different shifts. And that's one way we minister to the school. And it's quite interesting to talk with teachers and students, some of them we know and some of them we don't. And there's an impact upon them being in this facility. I've spoken to teachers that find something here spiritual, which is interesting. So we do that. In our budget, so if you come tonight, you'll see it in the budget, that we support Elm Street School financially, primarily to support their milk program for their breakfasts. Because again, some of these children come to school without any food in their tummies, and how do you learn when you're hungry? So they feed them, and we support that. There are some of those, you know, if you've got particular boys in the house and they hit that little bit older elementary, you know if they don't bath regularly, what can happen with that, right? So the school says, you know, could we use some of those dollars when we can to buy some hygiene products for some of these boys in particular? And so we do that as well. So what you contribute monthly takes care of those two needs. And the last one is we're building a connection with the school. So every time they're over here, we're building connection with them. Every time a check we take over monthly, I pop over there and bump into teachers, I bump into the principal, I bump into the office staff, and spend time talking to them, and they're very open to chat. And the principal has become someone who has said, anything that you need as a church, you can have it from us. In particular, if we need a space, we've got it. If we need the grounds, we've got it. He has offered to us as Valley Knights to say, if you want, you can have this space, and we could do a huge community garden to teach these boys, and I think we'll include girls in that, to teach them where their food comes from. And so these things the school is saying, it's yours. Use it. And so that's a great connection that previous years started, and it just continues to grow. So we're grateful for that. Mr. Larry.
Are you enjoying this so far, hearing what's going on? This is good, hey? Yeah, Dennis, why don't you come on up? I don't know how many of you would consider being on the board a ministry, but it certainly is. It's one of the ministries of our church. So Dennis, from your perspective, tell us what being on the board means.
Pastor Larry gave me a lot of time. He told me just before the service I'd have it. He said, could you share? So, you know, the old saying that goes, if you wanted it yesterday, why didn't you wait till tomorrow to ask? Preparation. I'll stop right there. Anyways, I started attending here in January 1st of 2009. So that's 11 years ago. In 2013, a wise man, an older guy, came up to me and he said, you know, you should sit on the board. I would like to say what I wanted to say, but Pastor Larry censored what I was going to say, so I can't say it. I said, what H would... That's what I said. Anyways, Benny Ryan Hiller. I said I was going to mention your name this morning. He was the first one. Two other people came up to me and said, you should consider sitting on the board. At that time, it actually angered me. And when something angers you, because you got some... I had some not good experiences in the past. But I tell you, sitting on the board has been a tremendous experience for me. I've been on the board. I started, put in a three-year. I've been 7 years on the board, consecutive. You know, isn't it time to throw this guy to the curb and get somebody else in here? one more year, and then I'm out of here. Anyways, no, but it's been a good experience connecting with people. Pastor Mark was very instrumental in me, helping me process to let my name stand. And like I said, it's been a good experience. You can tell from my heart, it's meant a lot. And you know, when you mention, you know, the word food this morning goes around. You know, anybody know how much I like food? Yeah. So our board meetings are, we start with a supper every Wednesday night. So it's a great time to connect. Anyways, if you have a chance and an opportunity to serve in that capacity, it isn't an upfront ministry, but it's an important one. Caring for, hearing. We don't always agree. People say lots of things, but you know, you really got to take it all in. Take it all in stride, and it's been a great learning experience for me and a great healing. And thank you for the opportunity to serve this congregation.
Thanks, Dennis. Appreciate that. Yeah, it's great to hear the hearts of people around a board table. And what we'll be doing this next season with the board is developing, if you want to call them portfolios, where different board members will take on different aspects of the church and give attention to those things, come alongside of us as pastors, and sit down and we'll journey with different ones of our board members about the different ministries that we're hearing about this morning, so that when we come to the table, the board members are well informed about all the different ministries of the church, and we can move things ahead. And so that's an exciting thing. Sandy, I've asked Sandy to come and share a few words. I asked her way before you, Dennis. It was yesterday. So come on up. And let us know what's happening with Oasis Cafe at this time.
So hello, I am Sandy. The Oasis Cafe is a wonderful ministry. We keep it very hopping and busy, and we have so much fun. The Oasis team has been through some big changes since we partnered with the Mustard Seed, expanding us into providing clothes, hygiene items, as well as the bag of groceries and a hot meal for up to almost 70 people now. We've gotten very busy. But what is really important is the atmosphere of love and fellowship. As you walk in, our volunteers will greet you with a joyful smile, giving you a true sense of belonging. We take time to get to know everyone by name, giving dignity and respect and a feeling of being part of a family. We minister to their physical needs, but by this small act, we are able to minister to their spiritual needs as well. When Pastor Larry asked me to do this yesterday at 4 p.m., I asked my friends what the most important part of Oasis was for them. Everyone said the same thing. It was family, a true sense of family, and then was dignity. Oasis has become a very important part of the Flats community. I, too, was an Oasis client. I started out, believe it or not, a very quiet person sitting in a back corner seat. I watched the Oasis team minister and love on people. This made me very curious about these people and maybe check out this church. You guys have going. It was almost 2 years later, and I'm so very blessed to be part of this church family. I'll close with, if you want to see the Spirit in action, come down on a Thursday and feel the presence and the joy of the Holy Spirit.
These are great ministries. Our seniors' ministries, we do hymn sings. And I want to acknowledge Arlene Knodel. She goes the extra mile. She gets help. Of course, last year she had Walter and Marilyn and Sharon help her out. But Arlene, she just does the extra mile. And so, Arlene, thank you. Thank you so much for your ministry in hymn sings and with our seniors. Pastor Larry had asked me to also mention the visitation, and I'm so grateful for a visitation that takes place amongst the people of the church. And we're so grateful for that. Of course, the wife and I, we do hospitals, and we do chapels at St. Joseph's and Southlands Masterpiece and Riverview Care Center, but also the ministry that takes place amongst you. We do life group at Chinook, and just good things happen when people get together and share with each other. And I know that takes place with you meet with one another, coffees and in homes and different places. It's always a good thing when the people of God minister to the people of God. Praise the Lord. We also, the Oasis Healing Room, I just can't say enough about that team and the ministry that takes place. George and Isabel Wilcox, Gerhardt and Hilma Brost, just appreciate them so much. And the ministry opportunities that we have to pray with and for people. I'm going to ask Gerhardt and Hilma to come and just share a little bit about that.
Good morning. I just want to share with you a little bit about the prayer room ministry at River Valley Community Church. First of all, Pastor Ken Rosette and his wife Carol leading this ministry is such a blessing to us. They have led prayer teams many years throughout their pastorate. They are truly our mentors in this ministry, along with George and Isabel Wilcox, as already has been mentioned, are also great mentors to us, as well as they're very passionate about the ministry. Gerhardt and I joined them, and together we are seeing how faithful God is with answered prayer and breakthroughs over the years. As a church body, we recognize the power that we have when we approach the throne room of God. God loves having relationship with us. Through prayer, we deepen that relationship. We need to take the first step by coming in faith and believing that he has the answers, and that there is no problem too big or too small for him. We want to encourage you to come for prayer, no matter what your need is. In Isaiah 41:13, we read, "For I, the Lord, your God, will hold your hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you." Because we are part of the body of Christ, we extend an invitation for you to come believing as we pray with you, as we read in John 14:13, which says, "Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son." And that is the reason why we do that, that God is glorified, and that we are a testimony to those around us. Because there is strength in number, we stand on the word in Matthew 18:19. "If two or more agree with anything you ask for, it will be done by them, by my Father in heaven." Again, always giving glory to God, because he is the one that ultimately does this for us. And if there is still any doubt, in Mark 9:23, Jesus said to them, "What do you mean, if you are able to believe, all things are possible." All things are possible. So I'm encouraging you this morning to come set up an appointment with Pastor Ken by calling the church office and having our prayer team come to pray with you. I want to conclude this morning with something the Holy Spirit showed me on Wednesday morning. This was just to remind me of an earlier prophetic word that our church had received, challenging us to step into the river. Psalms 100 is a familiar chapter to all of us. As a body of Christ, we are here to help each one of us grow deeper in our faith. We must have purpose. This chapter talks about a tree planted by the water, roots growing deep, drawing from the source, His Word, the Holy Spirit. Each of us in this body, I'm talking about you, each of us being branches, as we serve and help one another to grow closer, draw deeper, as it has purpose to grow you into the person that God wants you to be. As each of us do have a kingdom purpose, and that is for us to seek out.
Well, there's not much I can add to that. You pretty much said it all. But I just want to start off by saying, too, that how much I've enjoyed being part of this ministry and how I've grown. It's been a real stretching of my faith, being together with Pastor Ken and Carol and George and Isabel. It's just been a growing time for myself. And because I'm nobody special, I'm just somebody who believes the word of the Lord and believe that the Lord answers prayer, and then prayer is powerful. And why do we do it? Because it's scriptural. It's commanded us in the scripture. Jesus said in Mark 16, after his resurrection, he told the disciples, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name, and they will speak in new languages. They will be able to handle snakes with safety, and if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. They will be able to place their hands on the sick, and they will be healed." James 5:13-15. "Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, you will be forgiven." And of course, Jesus himself healed everyone that ever came to him. There's no mention in the Bible anywhere that somebody came to Jesus asking for healing and he didn't heal them. He healed them all. This type of healing has become rare in the church these days, as we seem to rely primarily on health professionals, and there's certainly nothing wrong with that. This is one of the blessings we enjoy in this country. But we have seen many instances of healings and answered prayers. Sometimes we need more than that. Sometimes, it can be physical healing, emotional, it can be for finances, it can be about addictions, it can be anything, challenging relationships with other people. Anything we struggle with. The disciples preached the gospel using signs and wonders, healing the sick. Supernatural healings make believers of unbelievers. So if there's anything you need breakthrough for, we'd love to pray with you. Come and pray. Prayer is powerful. The Lord answers prayer. And he's good. He wants to hear from us, and he wants to hear our prayers. And he wants to, when we rely on him, he wants to answer our prayers. So I want to encourage you. Come anytime. It's always good to pray.
Another significant ministry that works in the areas of healing, meeting the challenges in life is Living Free. Rick, would you come and help us to understand a little bit more? What in the world do you do in Living Free, anyway?
Thank you. I'm going to have Russ come up. He's going to share in a minute here. I'll just share a couple scripture verses, some of Jesus' words. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And he also said, if we know the truth will set us free. So when we think of freedom, it's going to be tied up in relationship with Jesus. And then he said, I have to go to heaven because I'm going to send a helper, and he's going to guide you into truth. And so we have the Holy Spirit to help us, and so Living Free is learning what that relationship with the Lord means, and who we are in the Lord, and also to learn to be dependent upon the Holy Spirit, because that's where freedom is. In fact, Jesus said in John 6, it is the Spirit who gives life. And so we need, so desperately, we need the Holy Spirit. And so I'm just going to have Russ just share a few thoughts. He's been part of Living Free this year.
Thank you, Rick. We, my wife and I were really excited to be part of it, finally, you know, organize all our babysitters and can be a part of this Wednesday night evening. And so for what it did for me is just brought deeper understanding of what the spiritual realm is, its functionality, in my life, principles of cause and effect, and, why things are where they are, like kind of really what's happening behind the scenes. And, Bible has many examples of how things in the spiritual realm affecting the physical circumstances. It's also gave me great tools to deal with assaults and torments that evil spirits try to bring against me and my family. You know, it's like, we have a Bible, which is the Word of God, and it teaches, like, yeah, this is a goal, this is where we need to be. But I find this manual gives us steps of how to get there. Like, it's kind of gives a little bit more of a kind of a amplified version of, a lot more applicable and easy to understand, I guess, for the guys who always need to kind of instructions. I, at least for me, it was giving me tools to see how do I want to get to this point. And then we came to one of the really important topics of strongholds. And, sometimes you have this misconception that when you receive Jesus as a Lord, your Savior, that, you have your spirit is born again. But the fact is that our soul still needs healing. And God gives us tools to begin this process. And one of those greatest tools that I learned is repentance and forgiveness. And those are things that, you just really, it's kind of like almost in your back of your burner. This is like, this really brought major amplification to this two words to me, and how important they are in our lives, and to bring us out of the slums and, deal with the, dark issues in our souls and give healing. And I just find this is specifically this area of my life. It was a catalyst for me to look at my marriage as well, and to understand something, that some of those strongholds and what was causing in my life, and then bring challenge me so that I could start taking steps to heal myself, heal my marriage, and become an individual that what God calls us to be, and also a leader in a home, and one thing that strongholds, they become like an obstruction to us to receive God's grace and mercy from Him, to minister the grace and mercy as well to others. It becomes a hindrance for us to become that image that what Christ wants us to be. And a great thing was, too, that we experienced a sense of community. I mean, it's like you always think, oh, my goodness, it's all my problems, and feel like you're all by yourself in this, but you're only in the group of people that you share that experience with. It seems like, no, you're not alone. There's a people there who are going through similar journeys. And then, it was interesting, as we go over certain things, there was just God will reveal something, and we need to pray for somebody, including myself, too. And God was just moving there, and we just deal with the issues right on the spot. And that was powerful. You get to know people there as well. Often we just gather here on Sundays, and it's, after Sunday, we at 12 o'clock, we're gone. But This is an opportunity where we can know brothers and sisters and challenges that they go through, and knowing that you have a totally different perspective on them, it gives you different eyes of grace to look at them, just knowing what's happening in their lives. Yeah, that's kind of...
Oh, that's awesome. thank you, Russ. I'm just going to share one more that was handed to me from Rosalie. And so I'm going to read it. It says, Living Free Course has been a fascinating journey into the reality of the spirit world and how it affects my relationship with God. I have a better understanding of what it means to not only experience the presence of God, but also the ability to use the authority that comes with his presence to renew my mind and overcome the attacks of Satan. This course has equipped me with the practical tools I need to live in the freedom Jesus gained for me with his sacrificial death and victorious resurrection. It's a journey, and I'm not there yet, but through it all, I know that God loves me and is cheering me on. I'm very glad I signed up for this course. God is so good. This is the third time I've been going through it myself. One, the first time as a participant. The next two have been as a facilitator, as the leader. But you know what? God works in us from where we are. And he works in each one of us differently, because each one of us are gifted differently, and you, each one is loved and has a special place in the body. And so he is going to strengthen you and help you where you are. And I just thank you thank the Lord for this course. Praise God.
There's a church growth principle that says as the church gets bigger, the church must get smaller. And that may or may not make sense to you, but let's help us. As we fill this place up, it's not easy to get to know everybody, but you can get to know 10 other people or 8 other people or whatever the number is. And so that's why we do life groups. Life groups is a place where we can come together in community, we can study the Word of God, we can pray with one another, pray for the needs of the church, etc. So Jenna is going to come and share a little bit about Jenna and her husband Tim lead a life group, and she's going to come and share from their perspective.
What I've really been loving hearing about, like with everybody sharing, is just the common theme of community and connection. And I really think that we are wired for connection. And life group is really just another expression of that. I'm just curious, how many of you are involved in a life group? Yeah, like a lot of you. That's so awesome to see. So about 5 or 6 years ago, we were encouraged to start a life group. And at the time, we really didn't know we needed a life group. We certainly didn't feel equipped to lead a life group. We didn't know what it would look like or who would come. But we just said yes, and we just made that space to make that part of our life. And we just kind of filled in the details as they came. And through the years, you know, it's changed and morphed. We've had some different families come, and we've done different studies. We've navigated how to incorporate children, our small kids, into it, which has been good and challenging sometimes too. But what has really been awesome, especially the last recent years and this year, is just seeing those relationships really grow, and just like people really making it a priority, just friendships forming, just starting to do life not just in a weekly setting, but living out life together all the time. And And we've gotten to, pray together, contend together, celebrate answered prayer. That's such an amazing part of life group, is when you can see just the tangible evidence of God moving. But I also really feel like the most valuable aspect of life groups is just what is unseen. Like, what God is doing under the surface in each of us as we meet together. God is just working on our yielding to him, like just making space for him, giving us a desire to value his word, helping us step out of our comfort zone. Sharing isn't natural for everybody. And just all those unseen things, all those things God is doing in our hearts, it does so much more than we can see. And I just wanted to share one quick thing that I felt a memory God brought to my mind that really illustrates life group, if that's okay. A few years ago, I went on a trip to San Francisco, and we did a tour of the Redwood Forest. And I don't know if any of you guys have seen redwoods, but they are huge trees, huge, huge in width and tall and strong, and it's so amazing. And one thing that I found out when I was there is that the roots of these trees don't actually go very deep. They spread wide just below the surface, and they intertwine with the other trees, and that's what gives them their strength to sustain the environment. And I just thought, what an amazing picture of community and connection that, Hilma talked about going deep in the Lord, but also we're meant to, go wide and connect with others, and it gives us strength. It builds us together, and I just think God, just loves that. So, I just encourage you to just continue to be involved in your life group, make room for that, and trust that God is working in the ways that you can see as a group, and in the ways that you might not be able to see. He's always working. So.
God prompts you to do something two or three times in a very short period of time, you probably should do it, right? Okay. We have two gentlemen sitting at the back who represent a team who run sound in our media. When do we recognize them the most? When something goes wrong. I've run sound at places, and everybody looks back at you and gives you this disdaining look. It's not them. Sometimes the board just wants to do its own thing. But guys, we thank you, and there's others here. We recognize this is a wonderful ministry. You wouldn't be able to hear it also. Last but not least, this is an individual that's going to come and talk about a very, very important ministry involving the next generation. He's really shy, so you're going to have to applaud for him to come, because he's really shy. And really has a hard time finding words. So, yeah. Simon.
The best till last? I don't know about that. Hello! How's it going? Everyone's like, please, Simon, be quick, because I'm really hungry. Okay, so everyone's been talking about, now I'm on my own, my wife is away, and Elena's away, so you've just got me. Sorry. So I wrote down a few things that really I want to talk about our youth group. We average about 20 kids, 20, 25 kids, which is amazing. And I wrote some things down the other day, and everyone has been mentioning these things this morning. Relationships. These are a group of kids who, a lot of them didn't know each other, don't know each other. They literally were, dropped off at youth, right? Some of them are from the local community who just show up. There are some kids in the church who attend our youth group. They are amazing in the way that they formed a bond and have become a group of friends. They hang out outside of youth. They have a group text. They message each other. They, and that, we're, obviously, we encourage that. We have just, or we're just about to finish the Youth Alpha program, which as a leader has been amazing to see. I don't know if any of you have done the Alpha program. The Youth Alpha program is very similar, but kind of geared more towards teenagers. It's a very cool program. It's really amazing the impact it's had on these kids. And as you remember, a couple of weeks ago, and I know Julie mentioned this, we had a sleepover in the youth room. I mean, we didn't sleep. Jesus. The kids did, but you know, it was a sleepover. And we were very blessed to have Sam and Janae playing worship music for us. And we ran a Bible study, we ran one of the youth programs, and then the Alpha programs, and then we had all the kids in a circle right here. And they were playing some music, and all the kids were in a circle. And this is what happened is only possible because of the bond and relationship that they have, that they were able to be open and vulnerable with each other. And to know that they could share or say anything and not be judged by it. They know that. They know I'm not going to judge them. The people in the group are not going to judge them. And they also know they're not going to get judged for what they say by the Lord. Because what's on your heart is what's on your heart, right? So we had 20 kids in a circle here. And Julie in the middle prayed to each and every one of those kids individually, to their face, out loud, spoke to each one of those kids. And it was one of the most powerful things I've ever seen. And it was just so amazing to see this group of kids bond together even more than we thought, you know, they were. We knew they were tight. It was pretty cool. I mean, there was crying and there was, you know, but the kids come around each other and were loving each other. And it was so amazing to see that it will impact me forever. It was just such a powerful evening. And so that's our big thrust at youth, is to let these kids know that they are loved, they have value, right? Sometimes that gets lost, especially with teenagers, because teenagers are hard. I got two at home. They're difficult, right? Teenagers are difficult because they're trying to figure out. We all remember being teenagers. Well, some of us might remember. Pastor Randy might not remember. It was a while ago. But I owe him, trust me. But I mean, the thing is, being a teenager, when I was a teenager in the 80s and you know, late 80s, early 90s, and some of you before that and some of you after that, being a teenager now is really hard. It's really hard. And it's been made really, really difficult because of this. We all have these. We all use these. We all take these as valuable, you know, tools. That's what this is. This is a tool. Unfortunately, I see this generation is becoming a tool of the tool. They are a slave to the tool. They are constantly on the device. And what happens is, when I was at school and I, you know, something would happen at school that was awful, or something would happen with a friend group and it was, you know, it made you feel, ugh, you could go home and that was a sanctuary. It isn't a sanctuary anymore because of this. The kids are all messaging each other about what happened that day, and they can't get away from it. So it's turning this back into the tool it was meant to be and not becoming a slave. And that's something that I've just started to go through, and we're going to go through that with the youth. The youth know when they come in to youth, what happens to these? They go in a box, right? Ashton doesn't have one, right? But it gets put away. And it's always funny when someone bring a friend, right? Lots of kids, they'll bring their friends. I'll come in and I'll go, oh, hi, who are you? You know, random teenager in the room, which is awesome. And then I say, okay, just put your phone in the, and they'll look. What? I'm going to not have my phone for like 2 hours? Yeah. But what if my mom needs to get a hold of me? She can call me. That's fine. It's getting away from that, because you can't have a conversation and connection when someone is doing this. You can't do it. Right? It's almost like you're having a conversation with somebody and all of a sudden someone jumps in the middle of you and goes, hi, how's it going? I'm talking to this. It's a distraction and we don't want it. We don't need it. So we're going to be going through that. I was told to be quick. That's quick. I want to thank each and every one of you who blesses this ministry. We just come in on a Friday night and love on these kids. We provide snacks because, as you heard earlier on, snacks are important, even to youth and even to the leaders. The kids make their own snacks. If you're on our Facebook group, you'll see Julie posts pictures of the kids making their own snacks. Again, teaching a little bit of a life lesson on you know, preparing food for everybody. We are going to be connecting with other churches very quickly. We're going to Hillcrest in a couple of weeks on a Saturday night. Hillcrest have got a youth group thing going on, and we're going to gate crash. I mean, we've been invited, kind of, you know. They kind of invited us, so we're just going to show up. That's what we do. I want to thank each and every one of you, from myself, from Julie, from Elaine, for your prayers and for your giving. It really helps us put that to one side and just focus on the kids. And so we've had a couple of weeks off, which has been, you know, a blessing in disguise, I guess, but I found myself on Friday night, I finished work, I got home, I had supper, and I went, oh, I don't have Eve tonight. What the heck am I going to do with myself? Like, it's honestly the highlight of my week. It really is. I come home on Friday night, and it's like, okay, let's go. We come here, and we just love on these kids, and we get it back. And that is something that I never thought would happen, but receiving it is just amazing. So I just want to thank each and every one of you here. You guys are amazing. We just do as we're instructed by the Lord. That's all we do. And, you know, there's some nights where I have a plan and the plan goes to the side really quickly because all of a sudden we're over here. And I love the fact that our team can just go, okay, we're going to do this instead, you know. And so thank you, thank you, thank you for your giving. Thank you for your prayers. I'm going to open invitation again. If any of you on a Friday night feel like, man, I got nothing going on Friday night, let's come down to you because we'll put you to work. Like, don't feel that, you know. But I mean that honestly. Like, if you would like to come and just hang out or just see or help, I promise you. I mean, we will use you, and the kids will, you know, attach themselves to you in more ways than you can think. So, thank you, thank you, thank you very much. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, and all of those that work with youth. I'm excited. I'm thrilled for all of those. There's many who are involved. This is a sampling of those who are involved in doing ministries throughout the church. There's many, many people involved. And you know, it takes everybody to pull off the things that God puts in our hearts. It takes all of us. And so this is thrilling as a little bit of an expose as to what God has been doing amongst us these last few months and projecting into days and weeks ahead, months ahead, years ahead. And so just I'm going to encourage you again to come on out tonight where we talk some of the details underneath the surface about how we do these things. We've already talked about the why, so that's awesome. But let's thank God together, and then let's be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the things that we've heard today. And we know that this was just a tiny sampling. So many stories of people's lives being touched and changed. People who were once lonely, no longer lonely. People who have experienced physical healing, emotional healing, relational healing. Restoration. That's what salvation is all about. Forgiveness. Freedom. Connection. Purpose. Just being together. And getting to know you, our Heavenly Father, deeper and deeper and deeper. And becoming intertwined with one another. What a great picture. Being rooted together in Christ. And so, Father, we praise you, we thank you, we celebrate the good things that you've been doing among us in this last while. And we pray with faith and confidence that there's far more coming up in days ahead as well. And even at this juncture, as we close, Father, I want to bring before your throne those who are struggling with health issues. There are numerous ones. And God, we pray that they will experience where they are your gentle and strong touch for healing and life betterment. And so, God, we are a family together. We walk with each other. We cry with each other. We laugh with each other. We serve together. And we give you the honor and the glory. And now be dismissed in the peace and the presence of Christ. May you experience his glory and his goodness wherever you go this week. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Be blessed.